Sarina Perez, welcome to Latinas Hi. Hard Talk. Hi, girl. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Can I just say, okay, so I remember driving to my little internship in Tempe when I was a Cronkite student and hearing you on the radio. My mom and I would hear you on the radio when you were on one of the stations here in the Valley. And I remember your voice, Sarina Perez. So thank you for being on the podcast. Yes. I am so excited to dig into everything. Motherhood, your radio journey, how you got started in your career. So we're going to touch everything. I was listening to your podcast, Sipping from My Glass. I love it. For you guys who haven't tuned in, go ahead and check out her podcast. Yes. It's on Apple Podcast. Loved it. I love how you're an open book. So hopefully we'll be able to weave in some of those stories today on the podcast. But I want to take us back to your ASU days.
Okay.
So I was listening to your podcast and I was doing some digging and you got pregnant at 28.
Yes.
I'm currently 28. So when I was listening to that, I'm like, damn, what if I got pregnant? You know, like knock on wood. But, you know, I'm not ready to have kids yet. But you got pregnant at 28. You were a senior at ASU. Was that planned?
No, not at all. So when I got pregnant, I don't think that we were trying, but we weren't not trying.
Yeah.
And gosh, when I got pregnant, so I remember having these thoughts that maybe a few months before I got pregnant, but I'm like, man, like, when do I want kids? Because I'm getting older and, you know, like, we have a certain time frame.
Yes.
So I started thinking about all that. I'm like, but I just don't even feel ready. Like, would I ever be ready? Like, you know, like, I don't have a career yet. I'm still in school. And then, I mean, I was sleeping till noon. I like to go out. I'm like, what if
you're enjoying your time?
Yes. So I was having those thoughts. I'm like, would I even be a good mother? Because yeah, like I like to party. I like to sleep in. I, you know, what if I'm selfish or I'm not a good mom? But once I got pregnant and my son arrived, I think everything just clicked. Like I'm not a morning person, but I mean,
you became one.
Yes.
It taught you how to become one.
And I feel like it just came natural to me being a mother, honestly. And so all those thoughts that I had of, you know, would I be a good mother? How would I balance it? Like, I just figured it out and it all worked out. And I tell people that who are kind of in that stage where they're like, you know, I'm in my career. I don't know, like, how I'd fit this in.
I'm like that right now.
No, you just figure it out. It just happens. Yes.
I just, so when I heard the podcast, I was like, wow, she was my age when she found out she was pregnant. I am going through that now. And I don't know if it's something that like women experience it in their late 20s if they haven't had kids yet, where like you feel this pressure of like, oh my gosh, like you do say like we kind of do have like a clock of like when it's safe to have a pregnancy. And we don't have that many years, if we're being honest. Men can just pop babies whenever. But women, it's different, right? So it's like I do have those conversations with myself. And sometimes I do feel like, dang, am I being selfish with like prioritizing my career right now? When you saw that positive test, what was going through your mind?
Oh, man. I was shocked because I had taken pregnancy tests before with my – well, he was my boyfriend at the time. And it was always negative all the time. And there were times where I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm late. Like, am I pregnant? And it was negative. This time, I literally had no idea that I was pregnant. I was like, no. Like, I had no thought, but I was late.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'll just take one, you know. And I took it, and I left it there. I started getting ready for work. And I came back, you know, 10 minutes later, and it said pregnant. And – I don't know. Like, I think I felt excited but shocked because I'm like, what? Like, this is a time, like, I really did not think I was pregnant. And at the time, my husband was also in school. And that day, I don't think he would have gotten home till like 10 p.m. So I'm like, oh, my gosh, no, like, I have to, like, tell him. So I worked as a server at a restaurant, and he would sometimes come see me at lunch.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, you should come have lunch today. And I literally told him at the restaurant because I just couldn't keep
it in. You just couldn't keep it in anymore. Yes. It was, like, an exciting, like, I think the day that I have kids, I'll be like, let me tell everybody right now. You know what I mean?
Well, I remember I called my best friend right away, and she's like, what? And then, yeah, I'm like, there's no way I could keep this in. Because, you know, you want to do something special, too. Yeah. Like, you think, like, oh, I'm going to surprise him, do something cute. But
do a little box or do a little video or do something. Yeah.
I'm like, I can't wait till 10 p.m. Like, I need to tell him now.
Yeah. So you were a senior at Cronkite. We both went to Cronkite. How did that, like, impact your journey? Because Cronkite is no joke. You're out there in the heat with your tripod recording stuff. Like, it is not easy at all.
Oh my gosh, no. So for me, I always wanted to be a sports broadcaster, and radio kind of found me. That was never, you know, a plan. So when I was at Cronkite, I was already in radio. I already was doing part-time weekends. I was doing nights on a country station locally. So my radio career was kind of already happening for me. And once I did get pregnant, I think my priorities kind of changed where I was like, I don't think I want to do sports broadcasting anymore because those hours are so long and, you know, and
then you have to travel a lot.
And then COVID happened.
Yes.
So, oh, yeah. So there was really no jobs. And so I don't know if it necessarily helped me in radio or anything or my career, but I will say it just helped me knowing like I could meet deadlines because
true.
Yes, or even find stories because, you know, there was one semester where it was just news stories. I have no interest in any news stories. It was just, I'm like, no, I want to do sports. And to be able to find a story every week and meet those deadlines, and I was doing it pregnant. I was doing all that. I was taking my equipment everywhere. I think it just kind of showed me what I can accomplish under pressure. And I think that's what college really is. I think it's, you know, who you meet, the connections you make in school, and yeah, like just figuring yourself out and what you're capable of. So I think that's where it really helps me in life.
I think you're right. Because I think when I look at college years, I don't have the best memories personally, but I think you're right. It teaches us like more about ourselves than anything else sometimes. Cause you leave sometimes not knowing everything to like get your first big job leaving college and graduating. But it's right. Like it's kind of a period of like, okay, how bad do you actually want this to?
Yes.
And how much are you willing to sacrifice for it? You know, at the same time, which the career itself, like you have to make a lot of sacrifices. I was seeing that your water broke when you were doing your final project at Cronkite. Take us on that day, because that is quite a story.
So looking back, I should have known, like, I was going to go into labor that day, because that morning I woke up so drained. And even looking back, I feel like it was kind of blurry.
Yeah.
I was so tired. And that day I had a doctor's appointment, and they checked me, and they're like, oh, you're only half a centimeter dilated, which, you know, to have a baby, you have to be at 10 centimeters.
So you're like, okay, well, we still have some time.
Yes, yeah. And I think my due date was 2 weeks from that appointment. And that day, they're like, well, you know what, let's just induce you because for your frame, the baby might be too big. And I'm like, okay, you know, whatever. And I remember going home sad because I was telling my husband, like, I just want the baby to pick – because we didn't know if it was a boy or girl. Yeah. So I'm like, I just want the baby to pick when he or she wants to come. I don't want to, like, I don't want
you to put pick. It out there that yes. day.
So I had that final project, and Cronkite worked with me. So I was trying to get this final project that was due in December done this week because I was going to have a baby anytime. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, I'm going to get everything.
So what month was this?
October.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to get everything ready, and I went to go pick up the equipment, and this equipment for the final project, it's heavier. It doesn't have, you know, wheels. So it's just, it's different.
Yeah.
And I had called my husband. I'm like, can you just come help me? Because I'm just so tired. I don't feel like I can carry it. He's like, yeah, sure. So he came with me to where I was filming everything. And I remember I was like waddling back to him, and it was like a trickle down my leg. And this is, I don't know if this is like gross, but I wasn't sure if I peed myself.
Yeah.
And I looked at my husband. I'm like, did my water break? He's like, I don't know. Did it?
So you don't feel anything when your water breaks.
You're not sure what's happening because it's not like the movies. It's literally like a trickle. And you have so much pressure already. That you're like, did I pee myself?
Yeah.
Did what?
You're like, what's going on down there?
But I feel like when every time I walked, like it was kind of like this liquid. So I'm like, I don't know if I'm just peeing or what is happening. And I went to the restroom and I told my husband, like, can you pack everything up for me? Because I don't know. So as he's packing everything up and I'm coming back from the restroom, the person that I'm about to interview comes back. They're like, okay, I'm ready for the interview. And my husband still laughs at this because I'm like, okay, yeah. And then after I interview, I have to go because I don't know if my water just broke.
Wait, you still did? did the interview.
Well, no, the person was like, no, go now. And I'm like, okay, but this is for my final project. So if my water didn't break, can I come back? He's like, yes, yes. Like, we will work something out. And I didn't have my hospital bags packed yet. So I had to go home, pack everything. I took a shower. Because then too, you know, you see in the movies where the water breaks and it's instant pain.
Right.
So I was like waiting. I'm like, is the pain going to come? Yeah. Or the contractions coming?
So is that a misconception then? Because like you watch it in movies and it's like, oh, your water breaks. Let's scramble. We got to get you to the hospital. Like, do you still have time then? Or is it like the baby's coming now?
Well, I guess your water even breaking, it's rare. I forgot the statistics of it, yeah. But it's rare for your water to break. So it doesn't happen to everyone.
Interesting.
Yes. So it just happened to me while I was filming a project. But when we got to the hospital, that's when it was like the movies. Like, as soon as I got out the car, it was just like, I'm like, okay, my water broke.
Oh my gosh, how crazy. Yes. I mean, the fact that you still wanted to go back, girl, and be like, no, I can do, like, let me just go check. And if it's not, then I'll come back. Yes. Just sit down and wait for me. Mm-hmm. You were dedicated. And you still are.
Yes, and I even think after I had my son, so I went back to school and worked 2 weeks after I had him. And I can't remember if I went for the final project before the 2 weeks or after the 2 weeks, but I want to say it was even before the 2 weeks because there was a time frame of what I was filming. And yeah. I'm like, this is my final project. I have to go. So
2 weeks after giving birth, you went back to school.
Yes.
How did that feel like? Because I'm not a mom, so I can only assume like you get so attached to your baby, especially being your first one.
So it is a blur for me, and I don't know if it's trauma that I've just kind of pushed down and I don't even really think about because I don't remember my son so much as a newborn. And I know like back then when I would kind of think on that subject, it would make me sad because I'm like, wow, like I don't even remember him as a newborn. I don't remember, you know, like being there with him. I didn't breastfeed. So when I had my daughter, that was one thing. I'm like, nope, I'm taking the maternity leave. Yeah. I'm enjoying this. I'm going to try to breastfeed her. I'm going to do it completely different. And this time around, I could not believe that I did that. Like, I could not believe that I went back and I did all that in 2 weeks because I was so drained after this labor. I'm like, how did I do that?
I mean, does college give you maternity leave?
So with Cronkite, I think there's a certain amount of days that you are allowed to miss. So the semester before I had went, I think it was that August, the fall semester, I had went and I talked to the dean and to see like what we could figure out. And they said, yes, I could have up to 2 weeks. So I think for how the schedule worked, I think that was 4 absences, maybe, how like, yes.
That's nothing.
Nothing. So I had to make those up. So before I left or missed, you know, those 2 weeks, I was taking extra classes during that time frame.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, in my opinion, workplaces, 3 months is not a lot. Because that's what's the normal, right?
Yes. 3 months. 12 weeks. And then in Arizona, I don't even think they have to pay you. Luckily, I did get paid, and then I had vacation, so they let me tack my vacation on too. So I had 14 weeks, which still isn't enough, but I'm so grateful for that because, yeah, not everybody gets maternity leave, and it's crazy.
I know. That is crazy. I mean, I think it should be maternal and paternal leave.
Yes.
Because it's like a team effort to have a baby.
No, and I've said that because, okay, after you have a baby, it's just like, okay, like, good luck. And
I know.
Then the dad's off and you're there, especially now when I had 2 kids. That was a hard transition.
Yeah.
And so with my daughter, she was still an easy pregnancy, but I had like this rash as soon as I had it the last 2 weeks. And then right after I had her, it came back and I had it for another 2 weeks.
And was it like an allergic reaction?
No, they said it was just hormonal.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So it was like hives all over my body. And then my epidural had worn off with my daughter. So my back was so sore. So the first 2 weeks of my daughter, like I feel like I was in pain. And then, my husband doesn't have paternity leave. So yeah, you're just by yourself. Like, what is this?
Let's talk about that a little bit because like that is my biggest worry that let's be honest, like the women takes on a little bit more of a heavier load than men do when, having a baby. Did you anticipate that when you had your firstborn? Or was it kind of like a shock, like actually living it in the moment? Because I think about this all the time personally of like, I only know so much from the outside. Mm-hmm. It's like once you're in it, it may be a completely different experience.
I feel like my first, he was so easy. Everything was so easy yeah. with him. I mean, becoming a mother, and then I think even just like the schedule with me and my husband, it was our daughter, I think, where we were kind of shocked, where we weren't used to that, and it was a new dynamic, and we fought a lot with her.
Yeah.
And it not necessarily her, it was just like the scheduling. You know, we were both exhausted, and then I'm home all day, and then once he gets home from work, I'm like, help me. But, you know, he's tired, too, from work. And so that was a struggle, I think, this second
adjusting
time around.
To mm-hmm. it, yeah.
Yes, and I think now we're in a good groove of things, and that's also just accepting kind of the chaos and realizing like, okay, you know what, dishes are gonna be dirty,
yeah,
and clothes are gonna be here, but as long as like we're able to, you know, help each other with the kids and make time for each other, I think that's what's really working right now.
You've been really open about grieving the person mm-hmm. who you used to be.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that?
So for me, when I was about 18 or 19, I don't know if you ever read the book The Secret.
No.
So that book changed my life. And it's literally just...
Is it like a teen book?
No, it's about manifestation and willing it to the universe and everything. And when I read this book, I remember reading it. I'm like, this is dumb. Because it's like, oh, think positive and positive yeah. things will
How
happen.
How old were you when you read it, though?
I think it was like 18 or 19.
Okay.
But literally in the middle of the book, it's like something clicked and I felt it. And I even say, I'm like, maybe it was even the Holy Spirit because I feel like they're all connected, yeah. you know, manifestation, the Holy Spirit, it's yeah. all the same. But it was literally just like this light switch where I felt light inside me. I felt so positive and happy. And I feel like people used to tell me about that and they would mm-hmm. be like, gosh, you're so positive. Strangers would tell me where I literally could just, you know,
I could feel it in the radio. When I was telling you, when I was uh-huh. driving to my little internship uh-huh. back in this must have been like 2015, 2016, I can feel like the happiness through mm-hmm. your voice. So I can attest to that, well, 100%.
Thank you. And yeah, so that's like the person that I feel like I want to get back to because nothing could would bother me. Okay. If someone came in, like an angry customer, because I was always in, you know, the food industry or yeah. something, customer service, and they were rude or they would yell at me, I was able to just, oh, wait, what if they're having a bad day? What if, you know, they just lost a loved one? Like, I was able to just, like, check that, and mm-hmm. it never bothered me. Like, literally nothing bothered me. I was able to just handle everything. And now I feel like shit just bothers me all the time.
Or, you know, or just, is?
I don't know, or just, like, triggers. Or I'm like, oh, they were so rude. And I'm just trying to get back to that. And I don't know if it's because I'm not practicing it as much as I used to, the manifestation, because I think it's just, like, going to the gym. Mm-hmm. Like, those positive thoughts and, you know, trying to ground yourself. I think it's like the gym, and you really need to work on it. And yeah, like that's where I'm trying to get back to. But recently, someone told me that like they could feel the positivity off me. And I had told them the same thing. I'm like, you know what? Thank you so much for that, because I've been struggling with that and wanting to get back to, you know, that old version of myself. Mm-hmm. So for you to say that, like that means a lot to me. And they had no idea that I was struggling with that. They just happened to.
Well, maybe bring that up. Here's a thought. Maybe it's not that you don't radiate that positivity, because I mm-hmm. feel like you do from just meeting you right now. Mm-hmm. But maybe it's like you take things for what they are now.
Maybe.
You know, which I'm may older. Be different. Okay. Like someone's giving you an attitude. Well, why are they being this way towards me? Mm-hmm. Like it has nothing to do with me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just like as we get older, I think we just start to accept less and less shit mm-hmm. and just like make room for just more authentic positivity mm-hmm. stuff. And if it doesn't fit, then it doesn't fit.
And sometimes I do think I'm triggered by someone being rude, because I am such a nice person that sometimes I'm like, are you taking advantage of me?
I was gonna say, there's like a thin line. Mm-hmm. So do you think sometimes being too nice goes against you?
Yes, because I'm like, would you talk to me this way? And then after I pop off, then I can notice, you know, when they kind of back off. Yeah. I'm like, why does it have to get to this point? Like, why are you being rude right now?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's a lot of things. But I'm trying to get back there. I'm trying to ground myself, because yeah. I don't want my energy to be ruined for a day or for a week, because then that takes away from you know, my light at home. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I take that home where something really bothered me and maybe I'm not as present with my kids as I want to be. So then I get even more mad. I'm like, damn it. Yeah. You know, like,
cause you're still thinking about that, mm-hmm. like altercation with the yes. person. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe we just like, as adults, just stop like taking people's negativity. Maybe mm-hmm. that's what it is, you know, maybe. But I want to get into a little bit of your radio life.
Okay.
So after college, I was again, hearing that you kind of were contemplating whether to completely change courses and mm-hmm. go into the armed forces, right?
Yes. This was early on. I think even before radio.
Mm-hmm. So you were doing radio during college. And then after you graduated, you were like, okay, what's my next step? How did that thought come across? Because I feel like you said radio mm-hmm. has always kind of called you to the mm-hmm. industry.
Yes.
At what point, like, did you decide maybe it was not in the cards anymore for you?
For radio?
Yes.
Oh, I think honestly, it was 2020 when I thought I was done in radio. Just because I was seeing so many people get laid off and the industry was just shrinking. And at the time, like, I just had a part-time gig. And mm-hmm. I had went from having a night show to being told, oh, we're going to just, you know, we're going to take it away. We're going to give it to somebody else. And then COVID happened. And then they laid that person off because she was full-time. And then they put me back into...
Let's talk about that a little bit. Because I tuned into that episode and I could not believe. So you go into this meeting that you had planned mm-hmm. with your program director.
Yes.
And you were kind of noticing that this other person who, correct me if I'm wrong, but she was kind of like a fill-in for you, right?
Yes. So when I was on maternity leave, this is who they placed to fill in. And honestly, maybe that's why I went back to work so soon, because I started noticing that they were kind of just giving her more opportunities. Like, I had never had an interview on the country station that I was on. And while she was filling in for me, they gave her one. And, you know, and that sucks, especially mm-hmm. in media. And being a woman in media, I sometimes think that people feel like we're replaceable. And so that was something that it hurts. And I'm like, oh, I got to go back. I got to go back. And so I went back to work after the 2 weeks. And then I want to say a few months later is when I could kind of just see things where I'm like, now they're giving her more interviews because she, I don't know. It was just a very like weird energy. And I wanted to schedule this meeting to just kind of be like, hey, you know, like I want more, like I'm here. And before I could even talk, like, okay, I have something to say. And they're like, yeah, we're pulling you from nights. We're giving it to so-and-so. And that was that.
So it's almost like he knew what you were feeling mm-hmm. and didn't address it until you kind of made it a point to sit with him and have this conversation. Mm-hmm. Did you anticipate that being the way the conversation was going to play out? Or
I didn't know what was going to happen, but I will say, I don't remember if I mentioned this in my podcast. I think I did. But there was somebody else in management who had pulled me to the side. I'd already scheduled the meeting, but this person had pulled me to the side to tell me.
To kind of give you a heads up.
The plan, yeah. Like, they're going to pull you, and this is what they're going to do. I know you just had a baby, and I want to make sure you know that you're okay with money after this. And I remember I cried in that person's office, and, you know, he was just like talking me through everything because he knew how much that was like it hurt. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, so I went in there and I kind of knew like that's where the conversation was going to go. But since I scheduled the meeting, I thought I would be able to talk first, say like, this is how I was feeling. And, you know, I still want to be here. But no, I wasn't even allowed to talk.
So what happened after that meeting? That kind of, it's almost like they said, you're done. Mm-hmm. We're going to give it to this other person. But mm-hmm. then somewhere in the mix, she got kind of let go. And then you came back.
There was never a conversation. And that's so the day that it happened, I remember I went home crying. And oh gosh, what really sucked about that day too is I was throwing out the first pitch at a spring training game as Serena Perez on the night show at, you know, so-and-so. And so my name's everywhere. But coming Monday, I already knew like I wasn't going to be on that time slot anymore. And
was it going to be that quick? Like,
yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. bye. Like, this is your last show today.
Yeah, they told me on a Friday. And
oh, no way.
That was it. That was my last day. I mean, I was still employed, just yeah. not.
You weren't have, you didn't have your show anymore.
Yes. Uh-huh. It was just going to be weekends and fill-ins. And yeah, so that Monday I was still filling in for our sister station because there was another girl on maternity leave at that time. Mm-hmm. So I was doing, you know, her fill-in shifts. And then on the last day I was filling in for her, where I'm like, okay, you know, tomorrow or today is going to be my last day. And I remember telling my husband, well, it's fine. Because now at least I'll be able to stay home with our baby and yeah. have a little bit more time. My last day of filling in for that person, this is a whole different station. I feel like it's getting confusing now. But I was filling in for the sister station for somebody that was on maternity leave. And the next day is when my time was going to kind of free up. Well, that's when they called me to tell me that they let go of the other girl who they had placed.
To replace you.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah, and it was the same PD. And he never said, hey, I know this is kind of weird. Or, yeah. you know, I know it was hurtful when we pulled you. None of that. It was just, hey, she was furloughed and we're
you're back.
Yes.
How did mm-hmm. you feel about that?
I mean, it sucked because I'm like, they don't really want me here. You know, it's just a money thing. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I sucked it up. And I was like, I'm still going to do the best that I can do. I'm going to treat this still as my show because maybe this something will come from this. You know, like I still had a positive attitude about everything. But, yeah, it sucked because that's you feel like you're not wanted.
I feel like listening to your story – well, first of all, like, what a crazy story. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like not feeling like you're valued is the worst thing that you can mm-hmm. feel in a workforce. Did it ever get to a better point or did you just move to the next opportunity? Like,
so I've been very blessed. And the day that I found out that I was being pulled, and not even from the meeting, it was from my friend in management who had told me, you know, the plan. I was up crying like all night. I don't feel like I could really sleep. But I remember praying to God and I said, if this isn't meant for me, lead me to what is. And this was in February. And then, you know, March is when COVID happened. And I was still doing nights on the country station. And then I want to say in September is when I think radio kind of just blew out a lot of its employees. So the PD, all the, you know, full-time on-air staff on that country station was just kind of blown out. And I was going to go back to weekends, which, you know, whatever.
I feel like weekends are for beginners, though, in radio.
Yes, but so where the industry kind of shifted to, and it's still kind of going that way, is our syndicated shows. So when they blew everyone out, they replaced them with syndicated shows. Mm-hmm. I think they only kept the morning show at that time. And I was like, okay, you know, like this is it. Maybe I'm going to finally be done with radio. I'm going to find a job. And I did have a second interview doing public relations for what kind of college was it? Oh, I forgot. They've been here for years and nobody knows about them. So that's what they were going to hire me to help with.
I guess still nobody yes, knows about
yes.
them.
Yes. And as I was doing that is when I got the call from Tino Cochino. And he literally told me on the phone, I've been listening to you and I've been paying attention and I think you're great. And I'm like, wow.
Which that's huge.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And to hear that during that time to feel like seen, I was like, wow. And he's like, yeah, I want to bring you in, you know, for auditions. And I even asked him like for, you know, part-time. He's like, no, this would be full-time. I'm like, what? On a syndicated show? Wow. Yes. So I got really lucky. And I think about that time that I was praying to God, I'm like, you know, lead me mm-hmm. to something that is meant for me. And
he did.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what a story that you were talking to him. I was raised Catholic. Mm-hmm. So I also believe in sometimes when, and I've said this on the podcast before, sometimes when I'm in a pickle of like, ugh, what do I do? Mm-hmm. I'm like, God, okay, like send me the answer. And I think mm-hmm. sometimes I get sent the answers through other people mm-hmm. of just like messages that he gives me on a day-to-day basis. But how crazy that you, I think in the moment we're probably feeling so emotional with this opportunity mm-hmm. and he said, wait, I have mm-hmm. something bigger yes. for you. You yes. went from part-time going to a place that didn't value you mm-hmm. to someone who reached out to you, offered mm-hmm. you full-time and said, I love your work. come work with me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How crazy. Like, yes, thinking back, that was like your answered prayer.
Mm-hmm. And since then, I'm like, be bold with your prayers, you know, ask for them. Because I think a lot of people, even myself, I always kind of feel like, is it selfish of me to ask God for something like this? Yeah. Because, you know, my life is so great. And
right.
But he doesn't know if you don't ask. Like, maybe he does, but
right.
Manifest it. And that's why I think manifestation and prayers are all kind of connected.
I believe that too.
Yes. Yeah. And that's why I said, like, the light that I felt, maybe it was the Holy Spirit, you know. Yeah. And yeah, I asked God, I manifested it, and this is where he brought me. So I'm very blessed.
I feel like, well, like I said, going through your story and kind of hearing how everything played out for you in radio, do you feel like this was destined for you? Like, because I feel like there were so many moments, even when you first got your leg in the door, mm-hmm. with your first radio job, that was your friend kind of trying to convince mm-hmm. you to apply. And you were like, no. Like, I want to go into sports journalism. You ended up applying. You ended up getting it. Mm-hmm. So do you feel like radio has kind of called you in numerous times when you've been like, I'm done or I'm not interested?
Yes, absolutely. And so when I was 18 as well, I did a presentation for a public speaking class. And I remember making a little wish board, because it was you were giving directions on a, like, how to.
Yeah.
So I was how to be more positive, because that's when I was in my little area. And I made the whole manifestation board, and there was a microphone on it. And I had said, I'm like, I want to be a sports broadcaster, but if that doesn't happen, I want to talk to people through a microphone. And this was before radio.
Wow.
Yes. So, I mean, there's little moments like that yeah. I think back to. I'm like, wow, like, maybe this was always meant for me, and I just was not seeing it, and there was, like, the signs were always there.
I think so, girl. Because, mm-hmm. like I said, hearing the podcast, I was like, wow, I feel like she kind of gets looped back into it, mm-hmm. Which I think it's beautiful. It's just like, I think he's guiding you in this career, mm-hmm. honestly, if we think about it like mm-hmm. that. But for someone who's listening to the podcast and who says, you know, I've been praying, and I feel like my answers haven't been – My prayers haven't been answered. What advice would you give them?
Maybe they have, or maybe he's telling you. I know we always hear, like, God has something planned for you, and maybe this isn't it. Maybe whatever's happening, like, he's waiting for you to let go of that so he can lead you to what's actually meant for you. And that's one of the things that I was trying to tell myself that night, that I was crying, and because I was devastated. I'm telling you, I feel like I was hyperventilating, because I felt like something that I was working so hard for was being ripped away, and like, that was it. So even when I was praying that night to say, no, lead me to something that was meant for me, I remember telling myself, like, okay, like, just let go, because maybe there is something better and this isn't for me. And I think that's what we have to, I guess, really remember and, like, reflect on when something isn't going our way. Like, maybe this isn't what's meant for us. Maybe there is something better.
So how do you know how to continue fighting or letting go? Because sometimes I feel like people get caught up with, wait, but I can still do mm-hmm. more. What if I haven't tried hard enough?
So I always ask myself, and this is something a friend also told me when I was going to quit radio, was, are you quitting because it's not going your way, or are you quitting because you actually want something different? And I think that right there, like, you reflect on that. Are you quitting because it's not going your way?
Right.
Like, or are you actually done with it? Like, is this not what you want anymore?
Yeah.
And if it's not, then okay, let it go. But if you're quitting because it's hard, or you're quitting because, yeah, no one's giving you the opportunity and you're pissed about it, no, keep at it. As long as you still want it, keep at it.
So is that what kept you then at that job at the country station?
Yes, because I'm like, gosh, what do I want? And I remember thinking this. Like I said, I've always wanted to do something in media. Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk to people on a microphone or through a microphone. So even when I was doing radio, and I love radio, it is addicting. Like, once you're in it, like, you are in it. And I think I've 14 years now.
Wow, girl.
I think I've been in radio. Yeah. So it's been a long time.
Congrats.
Thank you. And yeah, it's just super addicting. I forgot what the question was.
I forgot the question too. But what is so addicting about it to you?
I think it's the listeners and being able to interact and actually connect with people. Because when you're talking on the radio, like, obviously, you know, like, people are listening, but I think you also forget because you're in a room with whoever you're in a room with. So you don't always remember, like, how many people you're actually talking to. So to have someone reach out and be like, oh, I heard your story today on the radio, or even the podcast, I heard your podcast and I relate to it so much. I think those are the moments because you're actually connecting with people. And, mm-hmm. you know, I hope I'm helping people.
Yeah.
So I think that's really
making them feel less mm-hmm. lonely. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, I went through every single episode of your podcast and I was like, I'm going to ask her, what sign is she? Cause like a lot of moments I was like, I can relate to that. Like, she is speaking to me. And I feel like sometimes we just need to hear that mm-hmm. in order to kind of feel like, okay, you're doing something right. Cause I mm-hmm. feel like we all question ourselves, like, am I doing this right? Am I, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think like your podcast is very motivating. And like I said, I love that you're an open book on there and you've shared all the good, not so good, not so positive mm-hmm. stuff that's happened in your life, but you've kept going through every single one of you.
Thank you.
What keeps you going?
I just don't want to fail. I don't want to regret not trying. And I think that's what it is. It's, I don't want to regret something. I don't want to regret not speaking up. I don't want to regret, you know, not trying a podcast. Cause that was one thing. I'm like, what if people don't want to listen? You know, like, right? Like, you know, you have a podcast. I'm yeah. sure that goes through your head of like, yes. do they care?
Especially cause we're now in a time and place where like, it's all about views. Well, how mm-hmm. many downloads did you get? How many views did you get? How many followers mm-hmm. do you have? And it's like, I think we're losing ourselves a little bit in that number mm-hmm. and it defeats like the purpose of why you started it or why you want to do
yes.
it.
Yes. And even if you don't have a lot of following at, you know, when you start, like, build it, because not everyone starts with, you know, 200,000 followers or 200,000 yeah. downloads on a podcast. Like, you have to build it. But yeah, I just think it's the fear of failing and the fear of regretting of not trying, mm-hmm. you know?
Have you always been a spiritual person?
I think so, because even growing up, I was in catechism, I think, for like 2 or 3 years. And I remember, you know,
wait, did you go to St. John Vianney?
No, I was still living in Phoenix. So I went to, oh gosh, why did I just forget it? It's in Maryville. It's a church in Maryville. Oh, why am I forgetting it? St. Vincent de Paul.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's where I grew up going. That's where I went to church. And I've been praying since I was a child. And I teach my son his prayers. And I'm not a practicing Catholic, yeah. but I still do pray and I still do talk to God and I talk to my children about God and I pray that they have a good relationship with God. So I'm as spiritual as I feel like I can be. And I know me and my husband still talk about going back to church. So yeah.
Do you think society forces women to kind of bounce back?
Yes, absolutely.
In what way have you felt that pressure?
I don't know if I felt the pressure. I think I've been in a really good place, like, after I had my daughter. Like, yes, it was hard, but I was never in a rush to go back to the gym, and I'm still not. I was actually having this conversation with my friend. I'm like, you know, my clothes are not fitting. I have gained yeah. weight after I had my daughter. But I don't feel bad about myself. And I'm like, and maybe that's why I haven't went to the gym. And my husband, he always tells me, like, you look so good, you know, and he hypes me up. But I just feel comfortable, you know. And mm-hmm. yes, maybe I'll go back to the gym eventually. And I do try here and there. But I just feel like I'm enjoying myself. I'm enjoying my daughter. And I didn't let that pressure really get to me, especially because I was breastfeeding. Yeah. And I'm like, my job is just to make sure, like, I'm feeding her and being happy, because I don't think I had postpartum depression, or maybe I did, like, small little bursts, because I did feel moments of sadness after, mm-hmm. you know, this pregnancy. So I think just being happy, that was my focus. I'm like, being happy, raising my kids, like, I'm not going to try to get back into the gym right away. Like, I'm not going to care. But yeah, there's definitely that pressure. I think you see it in like on social media where, you know, Rihanna had a baby or Cardi B. They're like, mm-hmm. oh, she looks so good, you know, and it's, you know, front page news. So yeah, there's definitely
like in a two-piece bikini, like a month after mm-hmm. giving birth. Yeah.
Yes.
Do you think it's like that as well? Like bouncing back after, like bouncing back to get back into your career after having babies?
Yes. And I don't think, and I think that everyone's kind of created this, men and women. I don't think mm-hmm. it's just like, oh, men don't understand. Yeah. I think women too, because we don't want to get left behind.
I was going to say, especially in media, I feel like it's really hard because it's like, mm-hmm. you either come back or you lose your seat because there's like 20 people wanting
yes.
your job, mm-hmm. you know?
Exactly. So I definitely felt like I needed to get back, and not because I was being, you know, forced mm-hmm. or pressured. It was more like me, like mentally. And I think that's just that, yeah, that's a woman thing. That's where like, oh no, like I worked too hard for this. And I do think that's why a lot of women maybe who are starting their careers in media, like they're questioning like,
yeah.
is this the right time to have kids or, you know, is it not? But yeah, it's tough.
It is tough. It is tough out here, girl. Mm-hmm. Like being a woman is not easy. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have it any other way, but yes. it's not easy at all. And I'm like, gosh, my mom made it look so easy. And so did my tias and everybody. Cause it's like now as I'm getting older, I'm like, damn, you know, this isn't mm-hmm. easy for anyone.
No one. And I think I'm the first, I guess I would say woman in my family that's in like the media field or in, like I went to college, like my mom didn't, my grandma didn't, like they worked, but they also like, they just raised the family. And I'm yeah. the one that I think really like
has a career.
Yes. Yeah. Wants to be out there. And they've always known that. They've always hyped me up. Like, you know, like I could literally tell my parents that I'm going to drop out and go to clown school. And they'd be like, okay, they'll yeah. support it 100%. Yeah, like you're going to be the best.
You better best be the best clown.
Yes, yes. And so I think even like that pressure of like the career, because I, you know, yeah. like I think a 9-to-5, like, I mean, that's great. It's hard. Hard. Like, yeah. 9-to-5s are hard. So, but I think though too, like you could, if you didn't like that job, oh, I'll go find another 9-to-5 or, you know, mm-hmm. and.
With media, it's different.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's different because I feel like there's less opportunities, not to mm-hmm. like taint corporate America, but okay, yes. you're an accountant, you lose your job. There's 20,000 other mm-hmm. jobs out there that you can apply for. However, in media, once you're especially at the top mm-hmm. too, I think it's, which in my opinion, you're at the top, like you're in a nationally syndicated show. Mm-hmm. It's like, what's next after that?
Yes.
That's mm-hmm. kind of scary.
It is, because I've thought about it before. I'm like, I've been in radio for so long. Like, what do I do mm-hmm. after this? Like, if I'm not in radio anymore, like, I've dedicated so much of my life to this. Like, I don't know how to be an accountant. I don't know how to, you know, be a bank teller.
Yeah.
And that's one of those skills. Like, I feel like that scares me. Like, I put so much into this that sometimes I don't know what my other skills are, you know?
So do you ever feel like, because I feel like this is so common in media or anyone who's kind of an athlete to kind of a public figure, where your identity becomes your job?
Oh, yes. And maybe that's where too, like the person that I grieve now that you say this, because, you know, my identity, I feel like I go to work and I take care of my kids. So I'm, you know, I'm a on-air personality yeah. and I'm a mother. Like, that's it. There's no time for anything else. And that's where I think I'm trying to find my hobbies. I'm trying to find what I like again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just started reading, you know, my fantasy books, and I started a book club, and that's been really fun. And I'm making, you know, like connections there. And so, yeah, I'm trying to find what I like again, you know, like yeah. what makes me happy. And it's not just work. It's not just my kids. Cause I mean, I love my kids, but also I'm more than that, you know?
Yeah. How mm-hmm. do you give yourself grace in those moments where you're hard on yourself about it?
Oh man. I don't think it ever gets easier. Honestly. Yeah. I think my husband helps a lot with that, where he's like, no, like you're fine. Like go with your friends. Like you're fine. Like you're a great mom. Stop. But I don't think the mom guilt ever goes away. Like when you're leaving your kids, like the, you know, you always just feel bad. Like, mm-hmm. oh, gosh, am I choosing something over my children? Even though, like, I've been with them all day and all night. And
the guilt, you know, still yes. is there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I've – like, I'm still navigating that. But I will say my husband does help with that by just telling me, like, no, go. Go with your friends. Like, because he really does not care
yeah.
if I go have a girls' night or if I go do this. Like, I think he wants me to have more of those nights.
Yeah. He's like, here you go. Yes. Here are your keys. Uh-huh. Here's your wallet. Yes. We'll be fine. I'll feed yes. the kids. They're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. So if you weren't doing radio, what do you think you would be doing?
Ooh. Honestly, I think I'd probably be a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
Honestly, because when I was in school and even before we had our son, I was living with my husband. He's my boyfriend at the time. And he kind of moved me. And he's like, I want you to come here. I'm not going to ask you to pay rent. I don't want any of that because I have to do this. I just want you here. And So I think if I wasn't in radio, we'd probably still be living in that house, and I would just be a stay-at-home mom. Like, I don't think that there's anything other than, like, my career now that would get me to leave them. Like, I love my job right now, and that is my passion. Mm-hmm. That I don't, like, after that, it's being a mom. Like, that is my passion as well. So I think I would be a stay-at-home mom.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, I feel nothing but positivity and good aura and good vibes from you. So don't think that you don't have it, because I think you do, you know.
Thank you.
And it's easier said than done, but I think you're balancing everything mm-hmm. so well, like being a mom of two, having a full-time mm-hmm. job, and just like being a wife on top of it. I can only assume it's not easy, yet you make it look easy.
Thank
so
you.
What do you want your kids to know about you?
Man,
when they're you're 35, mm-hmm. right? When they're 35 and they look back at your child, at their childhood, what do you want them to think of mom?
I hope they think I was fun. Like, you know, like I want their childhood to be fun. I hope we laughed a lot, and I hope they look back and they just think like, wow, like your mom not only loved us, but she gave us like this fun environment too. Like, she was just goofy with us, you know. Yeah. Like, I want them to look back and have so many memories of that, of like me yeah. laughing with them or having dance parties in the kitchen and, you know, stuff like that.
Those memories mm-hmm. of just yes. like, I love that. All right, let's manifest on the podcast, because okay. I believe in manifestation too. Ooh. And the thing with manifestation, if you want to manifest something for yourself, is you have to put it out there and honestly believe it like yes. it already happened.
Yes.
If there's any ounce of doubt, that kind of just kills it, honestly. Mm-hmm.
And gratitude. You have to be thankful. Like, yeah. you have to feel the gratitude of you receiving already.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that. So what okay. are we manifesting,
ooh,
girl?
Ooh, ooh, ooh. How about we manifest our podcast blowing up?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I love that. That's what I told Maddie. Someone asked me that a few episodes ago, and I was like, I don't know if you watch Call Her Daddy,
yes.
but I'm like, uh-huh. that is goals.
Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I am manifesting that for you. I can already see it. I can already mm-hmm. see it. So
that's for both of us. And then we'll have yes. a collaboration episode.
Yes. Yes. So you guys need to stay mm-hmm. tuned, because we'll have a part two. Yes. Where can people find you?
So my Instagram, TikTok is at @TheSerenaPerez. It's T-H-E-E. And then, you can listen to my podcast, Sipping From My Glass, anywhere that you can stream a podcast.
You already know where to find her. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'll see you guys back here next week on Wednesday. Friday.